You know, I like to teach. That is one of my giftings, and but today it's going to be more like just a more teaching. Did somebody come to learn?
Yeah.
Who came to learn? Raise your hand if you came to learn. Raise your hand if you like a challenge. Raise your hand if you like a challenge. Raise your hand if you came to church, wait, or you came to change. How many came to change? Okay. So we're talking about, guess what we're talking about tonight, today?
Ripe.
See, easy. You know that, right? Okay. Ripe is what I believe God gave us as a plan of attack. And part of that plan is that one of the main components of this ripe is that everyone is doing it. Or we get a high percentage of people proactive in reading, inviting, praying, and expecting. And these all really go together. It's not coincidence that it's one word on all kinds of things, but particularly in this invite. Tamara said it at her closing, and I thought it was so good. It's really true. See, I'm reading my Bible, and I'm filling myself up to have something inside me. How many know it's hard to give if there's nothing in there? So you're reading your Bible, and the Word of God is filling you, and then you're praying for people around you. We need to have a passion for people who aren't in the family of God. And there's this talk now, you know, you hear this talk, well, everybody's in the family of God. No, everybody's created by God, but everybody's not in the family of God. To be in the family of God, you have to, Jesus said it, how many believe Jesus? Jesus said you have to be born again. You know what? The man asked, how do you enter into the kingdom of heaven? Jesus said, you must be born again. Why? Because there's nobody going to be in heaven that's not in the family of God. So we're starting to pray for these people. We need to have compassion for people that aren't in the family of God. Do you remember what it was like when you were outside the family of God? And you had all these problems, but you really had no answers to any of those problems? How many still got problems? But at least we know the answer to the problems. Is that not right? So we're praying, we're having compassion, and then there's this expectation. James says, when you pray, expect to, if you're praying and you don't expect anything to change, he just gets in our face. He says, hey, don't even expect to receive anything. We can't be praying and not trusting that God's hearing our prayers. I'll give you another chance. Because this group said amen, but this group didn't catch it. So I don't know if you know how awesome what I just said. So let me say it again. You'll get it, but everybody else get it. Sometimes it takes them a while, you know what I mean? Okay. But be patient, amen? Okay, so are you guys ready now? So here, now I forgot what I said. What was so good? Yeah, who's slow, right? Okay, anyway. So no, I do remember what I said. You know what? That we are praying. You know what? God expects us to expect for him to move before us. Thank you. Thank you. You did better this time. So we are praying with an expectation, and here's where it all comes together. And then we go out and we invite people to church. We introduce people to Jesus Christ. And it really makes a difference. Before we get started, or as we're just starting today, I want to ask you a couple questions. Who introduced you to Jesus? Think about it for a minute. Who introduced you to Jesus? Pastor George, who introduced you to Jesus?
A neighbor.
A neighbor. Yeah. Wow. Father, thank you for that neighbor that introduced Pastor George to Jesus Christ. Thank you for his willingness to fight through the fear and just go for it. In Jesus' name. Man, how many are glad for that neighbor? I'm so glad for that neighbor. Daniel, who introduced you to Jesus? Is Daniel's parents here? Maybe Linda was in the first service. What's that? Yeah, okay. Okay, let me. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Who else? Joel, who introduced you to Jesus? Friend in high school. Oh, man. Is that awesome? Is that awesome? Anthony, who introduced you to Jesus? Your mom. Oh, man. Mom. Isn't it cool? Let me just speak to the parents for a minute, okay? You have got a huge advantage. Everybody say huge advantage. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. Your children are in your house. And they look up to you immensely, and you can just introduce them to Jesus. They just believe. It's just such a, most people who come to Christ, by far, come to Christ before they're 12 years old. I'm not saying that you can't come to Christ after, but the majority of everyone who's ever accepted Jesus has come before they're 12. That's a huge advantage to us. That's one of the reasons we're going to get in South Ranchino Elementary with a after-school Bible program. Amen. Okay. So, I want to just systematically share with you some tips. Because if I said, hey, you know what, I'm going to give you some cards. You know, I'm going to give you some cards in English, some cards in Spanish. And I want you to go over to, the track auto, or what is it called? The auto zone. And I want you to pass out those cards. You know what? Or wherever, Taco Bell, Walmart. There's a slew of people in Walmart. I want you to pass out cards, just walk around. You know, most of you'd be, how many would that, you'd freak you out a little bit? Come on, be honest. Maybe you're just like, okay. Well, I want to teach you some things because whether it's the AutoZone or whether it's Walmart or whether it's your neighbors or whether it's your family, we don't have an option. I said, we don't have an option. And let me tell you what I'm recruiting. I'm recruiting that every single one of you that can hear my voice would invite one person every week for the end of the year. One person every week, new person every week. So like, oh, I invited my sister. I invited my sister again. I invited my sister. No. You can keep on inviting your sister, but you got to invite somebody new. Every week, one at least minimum, one invite, one person. But if we're all inviting, see, I can't say, whoa, you mean Tamara and I invited. No. She needs to invite somebody. I need to invite somebody. You need to invite. So everyone, imagine, just, you know what? Well, I must have 100 people here right now. So think about that. That's 100 people who just in the second service who are inviting 100 people to come to church. How many know we can see some crazy church growth if we would just get on it? Amen? I'm recruiting you. But I'm going to help you. I'm not going to do it. You know what I mean? I'm going to give you some steps to help you. How many want some help? How many are extroverted people? Raise your hand if you're extroverted. Okay? Raise your hand if you're extroverted. See, extroverted people have no problem raising their hand. You know? Raise your hand if you're introverted. Raise your hand if you're introverted. See, is half of you don't have your hands up? You know why you don't have your hands up? Because you're introverted. You know, you want to go, oh, okay. Okay. Okay, which is really leads up to my first point. And I'm going to go over this quick. Seven points that are going to help you to invite. Seven points that are going to help you invite. Number one, we must understand our purpose. We must understand our purpose. Have you noticed Jesus doesn't live here anymore? Jesus, where's Jesus right now? He's at the right hand of the Father. What's he doing? He's praying for you that you'll start to invite some people. Amen. See, he's not here. He left. He's gone. Look at this passage. You know this passage, but let me remind you. Matthew chapter 28, starting with verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Here's what he's saying. Guys, you go. I'm leaving. I have been an example to you in what to do, what to say, how to act. You know what? But now I want you to go. And this is a huge thing. Jesus says this: it's good that I go to the Father, because when I go to the Father, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. We have God's Spirit. We can go in His power, in His authority. You know what? He's been given power and authority in heaven and earth. But then He says, therefore you go. What's He talking about? He's talking about this transfer of power. Amen. But here's the main thing I want you to catch. Jesus isn't here. And He tells us, when Jesus says, you go, yes, He's talking to the apostles, but He's talking to all the saints. Jesus knew this was spoken to the disciples. Yeah, it's not even the apostles, the disciples. There's 12 apostles, but there are hundreds of disciples. We're disciples. This is to you. God's talking to you, telling you to go and preach the gospel. What's the gospel? Here's the gospel. You're freaked out like, I don't know what to say. Here, how about this? Man, God has made a difference in my life. Who can't say that? Who can't give testimony to that? Who can spend, 10 minutes sharing with somebody, a neighbor, a friend, the mailman. You know what I mean? Somebody. Here's what I want you to catch. It's not my job to get your friends saved. It's not Jesus' job. This might freak you out. It's not Jesus' job to fill this church. Now, let me tell you about God. God believes in shared ministry. You don't believe that? Read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. Now, He does believe in training, Acts. 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, okay. The whole Bible is illustration of God's willingness to shared ministry. Now, how many know, He is the King of Kings? But He believes in us, and He's not here right now. We are his mouthpiece. We are to testify in the goodness of God. We are to speak up. God isn't, first point, Jesus isn't here. This job is given to us. Say, it's my job. Number two, do not allow fear to control you. Do not allow fear to control you. So yesterday, I take a hand of invitation cards, a stack in Spanish and a stack in English, and I go over to the AutoZone parking lot. And as I'm walking over there, I'm freaked out. Why? Because we just sometimes get so focused on ourselves. What are they going to say? What are they going to think? How many know there's a hostility towards Christians? Can we get real? Well, of course there's a hostility toward Christians. Guys, they hung Jesus on a cross. Jesus said, they hate me. You think they're not going to hate you? That's what Jesus said. Jesus said they persecuted. Jesus prophetically said they're going to persecute you. I know all this. I'm not like, oh, I'm not like, oh, where are you going? See, you didn't know I could skip, huh? You know, I was like, where are you going? Oh, I'm going to share the gospel with people. I'm going to invite people to church tomorrow. You know what I mean? That was the one I was thinking. I'm thinking like you think sometimes. You know what? What are they going to say? What are they going to think? You know, you get kind of nervous. You know what I mean? I'm not a salesperson. You know, all this stuff. Listen, God thinks we can do it. Amen? God only thinks he can do it. You know what I mean? I used to watch wrestling when wrestling. I used to watch wrestling when wrestling was clean. Amen? Pastor George, I used to watch wrestling when it was wholesome to watch wrestling. I don't know about now, but when I watch it, you know, Bobo Brazil was the man, you know what I mean? And when I used to, you know, come home on Wednesday after, you know, after our prayer meeting, and we'd turn on and me and my dad would watch wrestling, and they had this time, and sometimes they'd have these tag teams, and it was two guys against two guys, and you know what, the one guy's just, the good guys are just, the one, you know, the good team has their guy in it, and the bad team has their guy in it, and the bad guy is just beating the tar out of the good guy, and he's like, and he's trying to, I don't know if you know this, so he's trying to reach, because for the other guy to come on in, you know what they got to do? They got to tag him, you know what I mean? And he's like this, and you're, I'm watching it, going, come on, you got it, you know? And he's just like this, and, you know, man, you know this is all real, okay? Don't even tell me it's not real. Don't even tell me it's not real. And so they're like this, you know, they're going to tag him. And right when he gets there, you know, the guy pulls his foot, and goes, you know what I mean? Beats him up some more, and you're just thinking, oh. And then just barely they tag out, and the other guy who's fresh, you know, he gets in there, you know, he starts pounding the other guy. You're like, yeah. Okay, can I tell you what? Here's my main point of that awesome story. Okay, here's the main point. When he tags the other guy is energetic, and he jumps in with enthusiasm, understanding that he's going to beat the tar out of the guy who's, here's the thing. Jesus tagged us. And I don't care how I feel. It doesn't make any difference. I'll show you later on in a minute. You know what? Are you kidding me? We have every reason to go. I have every reason to go over to the AutoZone. You know what? In full confidence. In full confidence. Why? Because Jesus has promised in this same passage that he says, go into all the world, preach the gospel. The last thing, right after when he's done telling us this, here's what he says. He says, and I promise, I will never leave you or forsake you. Amen. See, I've got the spirit of Jesus Christ inside me. That's not a timid spirit. That's a bold spirit. Amen. And I can feel timid, you know what I mean? But I've got to identify with who I really am. I'm not that timid, you know, at high schooler who couldn't speak in front of anybody. It was like barely have a conversation with his sister. That's not who I am. You know what? I'm filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. Yes. And I'm that way today, but I'm going to be that way. I was that way yesterday. And I'm not saying that you can't feel this. I'm just saying listen, nobody got invited if I don't walk over across the street. Why did so many people get invited yesterday? Well, hopefully because you invited some people. But I tell you one reason, because I walked across the street, because I didn't, oh, I'm getting way ahead of myself. But I didn't allow my feelings to dictate what I was going to do. First point, you know what? You must understand your purpose. Number two, you can't allow fear to heal, to control you. You know, and you'll read it, let's see, you'll read it tomorrow, because it's the fifth chapter of Acts. I know y'all know we're in Acts. Look at your neighbor, say, you know what, we're in Acts. Okay, look back at the neighbor said that and say, I know that. Okay, and if you didn't know that, well, now you know it. But in the fifth chapter of Acts, it's interesting because when they throw you in jail for preaching the gospel, like you get in your mind, this might not be a good idea to preach the gospel, right? So they throw these guys in jail to preach the gospel. Supernaturally, they bust out of jail. And you know what? And then they're like, these guys are out there. You mean the guys we threw in jail yesterday? Yeah, I don't know how they got out, but they're out. So they're like, go get them and bring them back to jail. These crazy Christians, you know, can't keep them in jail. So they bring them back. They bring them back, and they're like, you know, you guys need to be quiet. You guys need to stop preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what Peter says to him? To their face, here's what he says. What should we do? Should we listen to you or should we listen to God? That's what they say. They are furious at this. The Bible says furious. They are furious with this. They take them and they say, they're going to release them, but before they release them, they threaten them and they plot to kill them. They beat them, and after they're beaten, they have a talk with them and they say, okay, leave, but when you leave, do not speak the name of Jesus. Are you catching this? They're in jail because they're preaching. They round them up. They tell them to stop talking about Jesus. Peter says, we're not really going to listen to you. We're going to listen to God. So they beat him, and then they let him go. Wow. Now, Acts chapter 5, verse 40. Acts chapter 5. Guys, follow me in the back. Acts chapter 5, verse 3. And they agree with them. I watch it. And when they called the apostles and beat them and commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So what are these guys going to do? They're beaten. They're thrown in jail. They're commanded by these guys who are furious and threaten to kill. And they got authority. I would say these guys got guns. But they don't have guns, but they got swords. Next verse. So they departed in the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. You know, sometimes we get upset if the hot chocolate ain't hot enough. You know what I mean? We're like, hey, you know, and there's only 4 marshmallows. You know what? I want 8. You know what I mean? How many know we get babified over silly things? They're rejoicing that they were beaten, that they were held worthy. Jesus said, you're going to go through some stuff. But understand, they're saying, well, yeah, we went through some stuff. Praise God, we're on the right team. Amen? Watch this. Watch this. It just gets better. And daily. So what do? So every day, daily in the temple and in every house, every day in the temple, and they're going all over from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching what? Jesus as the Christ. Guys, listen. I love you, and I'm going to encourage you to talk in this day, in this teaching. I'm going to encourage you to talk to people about other things as you're connecting with people. You know what? There was a guy over across the street. I invited him to church, but then I started talking about his Ford truck. How many know that's not real spiritual? So I'm going to encourage you to talk about, but can I tell you what? But we talk about everything except Jesus. We talk to our friends about the Lakers and about, you know what, about food and about hairstyles and about, you know what, boots and shoes and about the Angels and the Dodgers and the Cubs and, you know, all kinds. Somebody said, not the Angels. Well, whatever. But, see, we talk to, watch this, and can I tell you what? Even if it happened, and it would certainly be a good thing if the Dodgers could not only go to the World Series, but win 4 games in the World Series. Oh, can somebody say amen to that? That would be a wonderful thing. But can I tell you what? I told you this before, but can I tell you, that's not gonna fix anybody's marriage. That's not going to get anybody into heaven. That's not going to connect anybody with Jesus. And we spend so much time talking many times about things that we, listen, here's what these guys are focused on. And listen, and it ought to be what we focus on. I was listening to Keith Green song the other day, and he's crying out and he's saying, you know what, guys, I'm sorry that every time I talk to you, I know I just keep on going back to this ultimate thing that I always talk about, but I can't help it. I just got to talk to you about Jesus, because Jesus is the only thing that really, when it comes down to it, Jesus is really the only thing. When it comes down to it, Jesus is really the only thing to really talk about. So, number one, understand this is our purpose. Introverted or extroverted doesn't make any difference. It's all our purposes. And we can't allow fear to control us. Number three, we can't forget to tap into the supernatural. So I'm walking across the street and I'm feeling intimidated. How many know Satan likes to intimidate you? Like, you know what? People are going to look at you. People can spit at you. You know, people are going to throw those things away. They're going to be, you know, they're going to be mad at you. They're going to be annoyed that you invite them to church. I mean, Pastor, what did you do? I started praying in the Spirit. Jesus said, go in all the world, preach the gospel. You know what? And then he said this. He said, and here's my promise. I'll never leave you or forsake you. You know what Jesus is saying? You're not alone. I'm with you. I'm proud of you. They can do whatever they want, but let me tell you what. When you invite somebody to church, when you connect somebody with God, and understand when I'm talking about inviting them to church, inviting them to church. You know what I'm really talking about? I'm really talking about just connecting people with God. Amen? Amen. I mean, what do you think is going to happen when they come to church? We're going to talk about God. We're going to worship God. We're going to connect people to God. We're not going to be condescending. We're not going to be self-righteous, but we're going to invite people to come into the family of God. That's what we do. Don't forget the supernatural. We don't have to go. You know, it's interesting because there's a lot of talk right now about what's it called? Apologetics. You know what apologetics means? Apologetics is sharing your faith with somebody else, but doing it in a way that logically, that makes, you know what, that where you're just not saying, you're not just saying, you know what, you need to believe it because the Bible says so. You know what I mean? And they don't even believe the Bible. So there's listen to me, and I believe that we should study apologetics. I believe that we should be educated and recognize there's avenues and ways that we can come into this. But can I tell you what? At the end of the day, at the end of the day, you know what it's about? It's about telling someone, hey, can I tell you what's going to happen? Someday you're going to die. And you're going to sit before God. And the bottom line is, if you haven't accepted the blood of Jesus to take away your sins, then you're not going to be in a good place. See, I don't care how much apologetics you study. At some point in time, you've got to say, would you like to accept Jesus in your heart? When I was younger, I just wasn't as bold as I am now. I just was more filled with fear. But recognize, that's not the Spirit of God. God hasn't given you the spirit of fear. You cannot allow that fear to stop you. You've got to tap into the supernatural. And I walked across the street and I started speaking in tongues. The Bible says when you pray in tongues, you pray perfectly to God. You pray perfectly the will of God. I'm praying the will of God as I'm going over there. And I'm reminding myself, I'm not alone. What am I scared about? I got Christ with me. He's going to lead me. He's going to direct me. This is going to be a good thing. I mean, sometimes we just got to encourage ourselves and remind ourselves what the truth is. I'm not alone. Man, I got the power of God inside me. You know what? This is going to be a good day. This is going to be a good connection. So I start talking to this guy. And at some point in time, I knew it. I knew it. It just became, you know, it's like you ever hear this term. It's just like, you know what, the door opens up. And the door was just like so wide open. It was like, oh my goodness, this is so simple. And I started to walk into the prophetic, and I knew it was God, and I told him something prophetically. And he looked at me like, how many know God can show up right here on Sunday? How many ever been here and I spoke? I believe that's happening right now. How many ever been here and the Holy Spirit just, it's like, oh my good pastor, you're reading my mail, you know what I mean? And you think I'm looking right at you and I'm not even looking at you? Somebody, anybody? Watch this. And so, yeah, that happens in here all the time. Can it happen in a parking lot? Did Jesus say, you know what, I'll never leave you or forsake you as long as you stay on the grounds of hope? No, see, God went with me over there. Are you understanding this? And you have to tap into that supernatural. Jesus said it like this. He said, guys, you just read it. Remember when he said, guys, don't go anywhere. Why? They had a story. They were born again. But they weren't filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that's not a one-time shot. Contrary to people's belief. When Ephesians says, when Paul writes in Ephesians, be filled with the Spirit, he's not talking about, the proper Greek says this, be filling with the Spirit. And so what happens is the translators, wanting to speak good English, wanting to translate it into English, say, well, we are going to translate it correctly in English, but we're going to have bad Greek. Good English, bad Greek. I say, you know what would be a good Bible? You know what? Good Greek, bad English. You know, the good Greek, bad English Bible. And it would say, be filling with the Holy Spirit. They could have translated, continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's how they should have translated. That would be good English and good Greek. Yeah. Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that we don't need to, when he's talking to the disciples, he says, guys, don't leave until the promise that has been given, promised you, has been given to you. And they stood there day, sat there day after day after day after day after day after day after day, waiting for the promise. And when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, that's when they went out. Is this making sense? So we need to understand that we can be filled with. How do you do that? You just ask God. Jesus, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yes. Amen. Oh, wait, I thought you had to. No, listen, it's as simple as that. Jesus, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you can be filled with the Holy Spirit today. Amen. Matter of fact, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit right now, right now, nobody looking around, you just bow your head. And you ask the Holy Spirit right now where you're at. Now here's the thing. You say, oh, Pastor, all eyes up here still. Pastor, I've already been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Did you not miss my point? Filling. Let's bow our heads right now. And let's ask the Holy Spirit to fill us. Father, fill us. I'm asking you, Father, fill me with. I can't ask for you. You have to ask. I'm asking for me. Holy Spirit, fill me today, throughout the day. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I'm not done preaching yet, though. Okay. Number one, we must understand our purpose. Number two, we've got to understand we can't allow fear to control us. Number three, we've got to tap into the supernatural. Number four, you've got to speak up. Let me do it in reverse. I should have reversed this. Let me take number five first. You have to recognize people, and then I'll go back to four. You have to recognize people are watching you. You know, you got a bumper sticker on your car. You know what? You know what? I love Jesus. You know, you got a bumper sticker on your car. You know what? If my car loses control, it's because Jesus Christ has come back and I've been raptured. You know, hallelujah. Praise God. But then somebody cuts you off in that car with that bumper sticker and you flip them off. Huh? What? Huh? How many know this is not a good testimony? And listen to me. I